Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show. Podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knock Home Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That once again is Josh, a rhubarb pie.
Bubba shot the jukebox Brian. Last night.
He said it played a sad song. He didn't like. Oh, wait, what? Oh, man. Bubba
went to his Chevy and
went to his garage and saw a noose hanging high. Turns out it was just a handle to the door last night. Okay, so we nailed it. Right. I hate to toot our own horn. I really don't. It's kind of cool when we're actually 100%
right. I'm kind of glad we didn't. So we're part of us is mad that we didn't release that podcast yesterday morning.
Yeah.
Before the NASCAR statement.
Right.
But if we did that, we'd be called racist all day for questioning.
Yes, exactly. 100%. Yeah. 100%. Fortunately, we're not racist. We just would like a little evidence. I think we said that at the end of the show yesterday, you know, that there's nothing wrong with asking for evidence, especially when... Okay, Josh.
Apparently it is, though. Apparently it is.
It is.
That's the funny thing.
It is. And
because now the people are coming out and be like... You know, for people who are asking for NASCAR to apologize for bringing race up to the forefront, they're terrible people.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
If you.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the fact that NASCAR just played the greatest PR scheme in the last 20 years.
Let me read this tweet real quick. Where is it? I can't find it.
While you're hunting, Josh, how insane is it that people that live NASCAR and work in a garage day in and day out, first of all, didn't know what a pull handle was on a garage door, and secondly, that NASCAR brass just runs with it. Like, nobody even says, hey, you know, that's a pull handle on a garage door. If you look, all these garage doors down through here have a pull handle on them that somebody's tied a little knot in the end of it, so it's got like a handle to pull the door down with. None of NASCAR even thought for a minute, you know, hey, guys, I think we're overreacting.
And no media. Media that I love. Like,
yes,
dude, nobody loves Marty and McGee more than this
guy.
Right. Like, they're my favorite. I watch that show. It's my favorite sports
show. But they're on Woke Center.
I love Marty and McGee, but all of them, dude.
Yeah.
Ryan McGee and Marty Smith were all. I watched Marty yesterday, and my eyes were rolling back in my head. This is before we found out the statement.
Yeah.
But because I think we have fully developed frontal lobes, not to brag, but I mean, I think we do. I was watching him just get all emotional about all of this.
Yeah.
And it was, here's
it was
tweet,
performance
here's
drama.
This tweet, yeah. This is from one person, but this is like the voice of the far left right now. This is kind of like what they're saying right now. True story. This is the tweet from Fisher at Fisher Jillian. She says, all the people demanding that NASCAR apologize for taking a possible hate crime seriously are really telling on themselves. Now, here's my take on that. I'm not going to say anything. I just don't feel like getting shamed because I hate everybody right now. But what happened the last 24 to 36 hours was far different than taking a hate crime seriously. Anybody should take a hate crime seriously, but that ain't what happened.
No, this is
that
the exact opposite of taking a hate crime seriously. This is taking a fake hate crime and turning it into a publicity stunt. Josh, we talked about this on the show last night.
I'm disappointed in everybody.
NASCAR
and I love
was 100%
I'm even like
for this.
Questioning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm questioning the whole system. And I hate to say that because I love Bubba. You know, I've been a fringe NASCAR fan for a long time, and then I kind of went away from it. I grew up in it, and then I went away from it. And over the last, I would say, 4 years, I've kind of gotten back into it. I don't know if I don't speak NASCAR like my brother does, but I've been really digging NASCAR. And then obviously, like, it's the only sport to watch right now, and I've been enjoying it. I work for a radio station. We carry NASCAR. We're partners with the Motor Racing Network, so I get like free MRN swag. And so like I really love NASCAR, but I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed.
You know what?
And it's not like that person that tweeted. It's not that I'm mad that NASCAR took a hate crime seriously. Of course, no. You're an idiot if you think that. That is not what happened.
No.
That is not what happened. Right. They used and abused this and didn't question anything at all.
And this is the thing, Josh. Like, they are 100% complicit. There's no way you can't be. Like, Bubba's complicit. NASCAR's complicit. Now, I'm not saying that they lied. I'm saying these people walked into a garage. They are NASCAR people, Josh. They've lived and breathed in garages for the last 25 years of their life. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are people that grew up in a garage. They've been to Talladega thousands of times. I guarantee you.
Right.
Most of these people have been there over and over and over again. Some of these guys that lead NASCAR are in their 60s and 70s years old. They've been at Talladega longer than I've been alive. They've been to Talladega garages and been in a garage longer than I've been alive, and they complicitly said that a pull handle on a door was a noose. Like,
or did they? That's the thing. Like,
They did not say it. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
anybody with a brain could look at that and say, that's not a noose. Like, maybe if you've never been on a NASCAR track and you've never been a garage, maybe there's some forgiveness there.
I don't think they know what a noose is. I think if they see a circle, they think noose. That's not a noose. A noose.
Yeah.
It is like this thing. I don't even know how to explain a noose, but it's not a circle.
It's a slipknot rope that has 13 circles around the top, basically. Yeah, it's the way it's designed.
Right.
And it's basically so that when it pulls tight, it doesn't come loose. There's no way to easily.
You wouldn't make a pull handle.
No.
A noose.
No.
Because it would catch
your hand. Right. Like.
Yeah. So people don't even know what a noose. Even NASCAR doesn't even know what a noose is, because even in their statement, they said that there was a noose as a pull handle. Like, that's not a noose.
Well, I mean, and this again, these people have been in and out of those garages for years. You cannot tell me they have not seen this before. I've never even been in a NASCAR garage, and I've seen door handles with a loop tied in the end of it that you pull to close the garage. Like, that's not weird. That's normal. This isn't something that you accidentally turn into a noose. There's no way.
Right. And the reason we questioned it yesterday is not because it ain't. I mean, we couldn't tweet anything yesterday because the mob was so crazy that if you questioned it, you were. I mean, seriously, I'm going to say his name, but like, we love Barrett, but like, people like Barrett were saying that basically, if you question this,
you're a racist.
You're bad.
Yeah.
And I love Barrett, but like, when people of that stature and everybody else are tweeting these things, I'm not saying anything.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame.
It's a shame that you don't even feel like saying anything because the mob has been so intimidating.
Yeah, man. And the reason that me and you questioned it on the podcast yesterday was not because we don't want to see racism brought to justice.
Really,
like, you have to think about these things, man. Like, okay, NASCAR garage, heavily surveillance. There's video cameras everywhere.
Millions of dollars in cars and tools in every garage, right?
Security clearance. Yep. Parts. I thought it might have been like a serpentine belt or maybe like an extension cord.
Exactly.
And also, like, okay, who would have done that? Who would have done that? A, they had to have been like super sneaky because, again, the surveillance and the cameras and the security. Mm-hmm. But also, like, the people in those pit crews, like I said yesterday on the podcast, like, these are not like your Joe Schmo guy, Jiffy Lube. These are highly intelligent, college-educated people.
NASCAR is not racist. Not like in the inner workings of it. Maybe there's some idiot fans that are, but like, NASCAR itself has not been racist in 25 years.
The irony of when all this happened, when Bubba started driving the Black Lives Matter, the irony in all of that to me, and my brother Ben said this, and Ben is a NASCAR nerd, knows NASCAR like Bob Costas knows baseball or something, right? And Ben's like, the irony is, like, it's a beacon of equality, actually. Like, is there only one black NASCAR driver? There is for sure. But like, that's a culture thing. It's not, there's nothing wrong with like,
right,
white Southern people growing up racing cars. It just is what it is, man. There's not a lot of white rappers. There's this weird thing where we have this idea, or pop culture does, the mob does, that everybody has to be like
diverse. Everything has to be diverse.
I don't think so, man.
I agree.
And if you say that, that's like crazy and like
America
racist. But like
diversity, I actually heard Justice Scalia say this today, a great thing, and it explained it. It said, diversity does not make America America. America is diverse, but diversity is not what makes us unique as a country. There's other countries that are diverse that aren't like America. What makes us unique as America is this commonly shared set of values that we don't even all agree with, but we all agree that it kind of makes a reasonable middle ground system for us to operate from, you know?
And there's all, not just values, there's also just interests.
Sure.
And stuff you're into, right? Like, you ever, especially in Georgia, like I grew up in Cedartown, and I think it's still this way, but Mexicans love soccer.
Dude,
and they're there
hardcore
every weekend playing soccer at every public park in Georgia. They love soccer. Yeah. It's their thing. And they're all together. Are they racist? Do they not like white people or black people?
Latinos love flea markets. You go to Jefferson flea market, and it's like 99.9% Latinos. That's not racist. That's just the nature of, they like going there on Saturdays. That's what they do.
That's their thing, man. Yeah. You go to like a street basketball court, it's a bunch of black guys.
Right.
It's all good.
Exactly.
You might see my white buddy, Morgan Lamp Smith, who's my granola white friend in Rome, who loves basketball, but like he'll be the only white guy.
Yeah,
there,
you go to Rucker Park, there's like one white dude, you know? Like, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
You go to any dirt track race in the South, and it's a bunch of white people.
But there's going to be one or two black guys at every one of those. It's just not going to be equally diverse everywhere you go. You know, like 18% of the NASCAR population is not going to be black fans. You know what I mean?
Bubba's not all black.
Yeah, that's
black.
True. He's not.
He's half Caucasian. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. It's not. Listen, and I feel like I have liberty to say this because nobody has preached about, you know, African Americans being more in baseball than we have.
Right.
And so we talk about it a lot, and I'm passionate about it. And I think that baseball has missed a whole demographic because of inner city baseball and the accessibility of it. And travel ball is so expensive. And in the 80s, I think you had like 14% African Americans were in baseball in 87, that was the highest, and then now it's like 3 or 4%, right? And the reason is travel baseball. So like what I'm saying is, like,
and again, it's not racism that keeps black people out of Major League Baseball. Like, that's not why black people aren't
accessibility.
It's accessibility. It's if anything, it's classism if you want to go
accessibility,
there. But
it's also because it's accessible, it's also sometimes interest too.
Sure, it's cultural. Like,
it's cultural, and I hope that. Listen, I hope, but I'm so torn because, like, Bubba's been my driver, and I'm like, that's awesome, man. He's, you know, black guy racing NASCAR.
I'm glad NASCAR stood up behind him as far as, like, all the drivers that were like, we hate this, we don't want this. Like, that's 100% fine.
What better way to grow your sport than that kind of guy? And I hope tons of black kids start getting in NASCAR. But if they don't, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's
the other side of this, Josh, is this makes real hate crime harder to believe. And what I mean by that is, now when the real thing happens, it's like crying wolf. Okay, so we've had Jussie Smollett, who said a bunch of MAGA hat guys beat him up. Turns out it was guys he hired. Then you've got this woman in a park, this mayor in a park in California that's telling us that nooses are hung in the park. Well, it turns out it's exercise equipment that was hung up by a black man because he couldn't go to the gym during the COVID shutdown. And then we end up with Bubba claiming that there people from his pit crew or whoever it was claiming a noose was hung, and then you find out it's a pull handle on a door. It makes me.
I want to know some details.
It makes me highly skeptical then anytime somebody calls racist, because and the problem is, there are times that there's legit racism and hate crimes and all these things take place, but now I'm jaded. Like, now I'm at the point where, like, I don't believe you just because you said it anymore, because you've lied to me, you know?
But then someone else will say to what you just said, they'll say, yeah, but this brought racial awareness to NASCAR. And so if you're mad that that if you're mad that they were wrong about a noose, then you're a piece
what
of shit.
What did this bring to NASCAR? Ridiculous. What racial exactly. What racial did this bring to NASCAR other than a public
it
publicity
brought,
stunt?
It brought more. Here's my take. It brought more hatred and anger. People were livid yesterday.
Yeah.
So let's say there's two sides. On the left, people were for 36 hours pissed off that someone would put a noose.
There were even people on the right like driving. Mad about this. There were people on the I'll be 100% right. honest. Like it wasn't yeah. left or right. It was
you're right. It was probably 95% of people.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Because
yeah.
we don't you're, like you're right. racist. Like I get that. Nobody likes a racist.
Right. I mean, everybody was outraged. And so today when somebody like that tweets that you know that if you're calling for NASCAR to apologize, then you're missing the point. You know, they brought racism to the forefront. You know, no, they made people pissed off, fucking pissed off for 36 hours, pissed yeah. over bullshit.
And that's not real racism. That's the problem.
It's not.
It gets people upset over fake news. Literally, like this is fake news. But pardon
it's
the
so,
pun.
It's so,
but
I'm, like, I'm just pointing in like a lot of media that I respect and some that I know. It's just
hook, line,
it was
and sinker.
A bad day, man.
Like people yeah. out here complain about
over
Clay
hearsay,
Travis.
Over some guy.
People out here yeah. complain about Clay Travis being like some redneck racist or something, which I find absolutely hysterical. But people like him, and then they try to call his buddy Jason Whitlock. Now they call him the Uncle Tom because he's a black guy that actually waits for information to come out. And I'm like, Clay condemned this from the beginning. If you listen to what he said, if somebody did this, they should be banned from NASCAR, but give us some evidence. Like, we want to see some evidence that this yeah. was really happened. And then when the evidence comes out, there's nothing there. And the problem I have with this is it creates outrage in a country that's already living on outrage, but it's yeah. faux outrage. It's not even over something real. It's anger spent over a non thing. It's not even real. People
that's
got
the name
all
of the game,
blown
man.
Out of
that's
control.
That's the name of the game. That
and,
is,
and that, I
that's
mean,
media,
that's
yeah.
been part of the thing with the George Floyd story, Josh, is you and I talked about this, is people have been so upset about George Floyd dying, and they should be, but we've conflated it 100% with racism when there's no evidence that the white guy was any sort of blatant racist and did it because George Floyd was black. There should be good conversations about cops that are bad, putting limits yeah, and controls on not. Stuff. We should have good conversations. We should call that guy a piece of crap that killed that man. He should be on trial for murder. But we shouldn't conflate faux racism and make the debate about something that's not actually there. Let's deal with facts and reality. And look, if you're a black person and you're listening to this and you're like, I've had that experience, I'm not saying that's not real. But let's talk about a real experience of actual racism so we can actually deal with what's the core principle and problem. You know, we hear systemic racism, and I do believe such a thing exists. But you cannot use a fake anecdote where it's not systemic racism to teach me about systemic racism. Like,
but,
that's the problem.
But the people are so dumb that you can. You can use that.
Right.
And it works.
Right. Because
it works.
Nobody lives on facts anymore. You know?
Yesterday is a great example.
Yeah.
Yesterday, a NASCAR driver tweeted a statement via the Notes app on his iPhone.
Which was weird to begin with.
Right? That said that a friend or someone he knows told him that he saw a noose hanging in his garage.
Uh-huh.
That's all he said. He didn't say he didn't see a picture of it. He didn't see a video of it. He didn't name the person that told him. That is all. So this guy tweets that statement. I'm doing air mm-hmm. quote statement. And everybody.
Yeah.
was outraged for 24 hours over
it,
that.
It's literal white knighting.
And if you questioned it,
yeah.
And if you questioned it, if you said, you know what, that's terrible, but we need to, I want to see like evidence of that because that's bad.
Right.
Then you were a piece of racist.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
no, so a lot of people didn't even say anything.
Yeah.
But most people did. I would say you're right. Like 95% of people, like left and right,
outraged.
Drooling at the mouths.
I
just
called
foaming
you
at the mouths,
as soon as
drooling.
I heard it. I called you, Josh, and you were camping.
You did.
And I said the first yeah. words out of my mouth that I told you, Josh, is I said, "There's a 5% chance this is real." Like that was what I told you. Like literally, because you just like exactly what you said earlier in the show. I just know enough about NASCAR to know that the likelihood that some redneck racist snuck into his garage and did this was nearly impossible. Like it was, and like that's not me being a racist that I think that. It's me understanding how NASCAR garage works. Like I just
and being around those types of people in my life. And same here. Like I grew up going to dirt tracks in Jasper, Georgia, and Chatsworth, Georgia, back in the day, back early mid 90s. They're not as popular anymore. They were huge through the 80s and like early mid 90s. Dirt track go-kart racing was like the shit.
Yep. It still is.
And Tuna, my stepdad, they still got the go-kart that they raced back in the day. My stepbrother.
I bet he's been to Carnesville to race. There's probably, a huge track about 10 miles from my house.
We lived in Cedartown.
A couple times a year.
We lived in Cedartown. We'd go to Chatsworth. There's three tracks. Two main tracks, and then there was one tiny one. One tiny one in Piedmont, Alabama. The big one was in Jasper, and the other big one was in Chatsworth. I think Jasper was like the big Mac Daddy. And every Saturday night, dude, growing up in middle school, we would drive to one of those tracks, and his 87 Suburban was me.
Nice.
My brother Ben, my stepbrother Lane, and my other stepbrother Mike. And Mike and Lane raced. Me and Ben just kind of hung out. And Mike at the time was probably, I guess, in his 30s, and he raced in like the senior class.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there was like
that's hardcore stuff.
And he raced in what was called the Eliminator Series.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
And his particular race, every Saturday night, his particular race was always the last one. It was like the 11 o'clock race. Right. And it was like big money. By big money, I mean like maybe $400 or $500.
Yeah, and if you go to the like big Southern money. Regionals, it's like $4,000 or $5,000 now. It's like there big money now. Yeah. Yeah, I got some buddies
and
that
Lane, racing. Lane, I don't remember the class or what the thing was called that Lane raced in, but he raced. Lane was like okay. But then Mike Hawkins was like legit. I mean, he had like his go-kart was black and cause he loved Dale Earnhardt. And, anyways, we grew up in this culture.
For those that don't know, go-kart racing is not like your little go-kart that you had in your backyard. Yeah. These are cars that run like 65 to 85 they've miles an hour, you know, like,
yeah, they've got slick tires and they kind of go, you know, sideways around the turns.
Yeah, and 65 and 85 awesome. Sounds slow if you drive a car, but if you've ever been in a go-kart driving that fast, it's ridiculously insane and will scare the pee out of you. Like, I mean, it's crazy fast. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
Man, we come home. We get home at like 2-3 in the morning on Saturday or Sunday mornings in the Suburban, and we'd smell like methanol.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was awesome, man. It was awesome. And just great. What I'm getting at is like growing up in that culture, all those country boy rednecks, like they weren't racist.
No.
They were just, they loved the South. They loved racism.
I mean, there might have been some that were, but like they weren't there flaunting their racism. Maybe. You know, like that wasn't their point.
No. And many of those people kind of grew up and now they're big NASCAR fans. And it's like I said last week on the podcast, every redneck that I know loves Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, exactly.
Or should I say loved Bubba Wallace. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Like, it's a little bit weird right now, Bubba. I'm just being honest. Because, I mean, it's weird.
I'm at a place.
And I don't think that's
bad
to say. I
saw some people say this on Twitter. And I find myself, like, kind of feeling this. And that is, I don't know how Bubba isn't lying. And what I mean
I'm not touching that on Twitter with a tweet.
Yeah.
But honestly, he's not a dumb person.
Right.
He's a smart guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And like, if somebody
that's why
hung
I've
a,
always liked
if somebody
him.
Hung a noose
guy.
In my
he's
garage, then I want to see it. Like, if somebody's threatening me, I want to see it. Like, I don't know. It's just a part of me. Like, I think that's human nature, that if somebody's threatening you that way, you want to lay eyes on, like, show. Like, the second somebody said, hey, man, I think there's a noose in our garage, my first comment would have been like, show me. Let me see.
Show me right, and like, show me the piece of shit that did it. Now let's go.
And I'm gonna whoop his butt right now. Like that's what's good.
But instead, allegedly, he didn't do any of that, and he got on his little iPhone and he opened up his notes app
and wrote a story.
And he wrote a statement.
I mean,
I'm disappointed, man.
Maybe there were extenuating circumstances. Maybe he was busy. Maybe I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not giving NASCAR the benefit of the doubt. Whoever ran with his story had to have actually seen whatever it was. I mean, they called the freaking FBI. I mean, the FBI had to investigate to tell them that it was a pull handle on a garage door. Like,
now, yeah.
I, I'm sorry, NASCAR.
I know
you are not that stupid. I know rednecks that didn't graduate high school that know what a pull handle on a garage door is.
But also, what if, let's say, devil's advocate here. Let's say NASCAR is innocent or whatever, and let's say that, like, in a way, like, because I saw people say that on Twitter, but I thought, you know what though? They had to get the FBI involved.
Sure,
they had to. They had to prove it. They had to get the FBI involved. So there's no question. It absolves them from any kind of weird, nefarious bullshit. And so, like, I saw all the takes.
What in the
world,
like, is going on? Why Josh would it take, being, like, reasonable here and me being like, there's no freaking way. There's no freaking way.
Like,
this is 100%. Well, I saw that.
That's what I thought.
This is 100% planned by NASCAR. NASCAR did not. I don't believe for a minute that NASCAR went in and said, oh, look, there's a noose, or tied a noose in his thing. I don't believe that. But we talked about this on yesterday's show, and that is NASCAR packed the room with explosives. They said, we're going to put Bubba in a Black Lives Matter car. We're going to tell people at Talladega that they can't fly their Confederate flags. We're going to make this whole thing, we're going to get all eyes on NASCAR as being progressive against racism. And it's like, Josh, have you, this is a great example. Have you ever been deer hunting?
Yes.
Okay, so late at night, when you're deer hunting, anybody that's been there, every person that's deer hunted has had this experience. You are sitting there for three or 4 hours, you're cold.
Yeah, I'm not very good at sitting still.
I know, I'm not either. You're cold, but you're wanting to see a deer. You're wanting to shoot a deer. You're expecting a big old buck to come around the corner any second, right? So about 8 o'clock, 7:30, okay, it's wintertime. So about 7:15, 7:30, it's getting dusky dark, right? And you look, and the same spot you've been looking for 3 hours, you see a deer. You are 100% certain it's a deer. You can see the rack. You can see it wiggling a little bit. You're just waiting. You're sitting there. You're like, I'm going to blow this sucker away. I just need him to take 10 more steps towards me, and I'm going to blow him away. And you sit there, and you sit there, and you sit there, and he never does. And after you sit there, and it finally gets dark, you're like, I know right where he's at. And you flip your flashlight on, and you realize it's the same bush you've been looking at for the past 3.5 hours. There was never a deer there. You just convinced yourself there was one because you wanted a deer to be there. That's what NASCAR did. NASCAR said, hey, look, we're getting rid of racists. Hey, NASCAR, we're getting rid of racists. We're not gonna there's no racists in our we're gonna look for and root out all the racists in NASCAR. Hey, do you know that there's racists in NASCAR? We're gonna get rid of them all. Black Lives Matter, we're gonna get rid of them all. And then somebody says, hey, do you see that pull handle on the garage door? That looks kinda like a noose. I bet that's a noose. And you've literally packed the room with explosives, given everyone lighters, and flipped the light off and waiting for somebody to strike a match. And
people like Marty and McGee, who I adore, just
hook, line, and sinker, swallow it.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Because they're good people.
What if
this is the problem? Good people defended Bubba Wallace.
Ryan McGee and Marty Smith.
Barrett Salee is a great guy. We love Barrett.
Great guy.
You know,
great guy. But they hate racism.
Hate racism.
So they just.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they jump to, we're going to defend people, but us jaded, cynical people like me and you are like, we've seen this before. like I am not to the place that I can jump to defend people anymore without you giving me some measure of some glimmer of evidence. Like, I need
and it
something.
It wasn't like we've seen this before. If a story came out, Ken, if a sketchy story comes out about, let's because it's happened. Let's just say that, like, a black guy gets shot by a cop in Alpharetta.
Yeah.
You know, that would be like, that'd be kind of different. This was different because we know NASCAR, we know that, like, the chances of somebody getting in there security wise surveillance, it's just very unlikely. People that are working in these pit crews, they're very intelligent people. It smelled from the very beginning, right, dude. It was so obvious.
Yeah, we were talking to JT, JT's first words out of JT's mouth was, I don't believe it's real.
JT probably knows NASCAR more than us, you know. And, yeah, he's like, this is bullshit. But I don't know. I think, what if NASCAR – I can't believe I'm being reasonable. This feels weird. What if NASCAR Because I think the first person that broke it was Bubba. I think he went to Twitter and just like published it.
I don't know. I could be wrong about that. I don't have any idea.
But what if NASCAR hears about it from Bubba, and they're not conjuring up any kind of hoax or anything like that. What if they're like, oh my God, we just have to react, and they just overreacted, and they were like, you know what, to cover our butt, we have to immediately call the FBI. And what if they did that, which I think would be a good thing.
Yeah,
that would be the correct thing to do. And I mean, everybody on Twitter is like, why would it take the FBI? The reason to the FBI, because it had to take the FBI, because you motherfuckers are stupid. You're dumber than shit. You're so stupid that it had to take the FBI to do this. Because if NASCAR comes out,
you
like,
call NASCAR racist. Right.
Yeah. We did an internal NASCAR investigation, and our executive vice president of the racing, commission found that it was just a pull angle. Nobody would believe it. So you had to bring in the FBI. So I don't know. I think that might
so
be.
So I'm with you on that part.
I'm not absolving NASCAR altogether.
Where I can't go, Josh, is turning it into a spectacle.
They're guilty about that.
Bubba is a pre-race show. That after the race, nobody even remembers that Blaney won the race. Ryan Blaney won it. Everybody instead cut to Bubba celebrating with fans behind him and everything. He came in 14th, and he's celebrating like he won the dang race.
Which was high for him. He usually finishes 25th.
That's true. Bubba's not. He's not really a top 10 racer most of the time. But
he's always been. I
love him. I like Bubba.
I'm torn now, because it seems fishy, and it's kind of like yesterday when we were saying that the news seemed fishy. You can't say this thing's publicly, because if you say this thing's public, you're a racist. Yeah. If you right now, yesterday, if you questioned the news, you were the worst person ever. If you questioned it. Today, if you question Bubba,
well, I went into it last night, and before we recorded last night, I said, Josh, how do we need to handle this? Because I was like cautious. I'm like, we got to be kind of careful how this we talk
we
about
weren't.
This
we very,
because
yeah,
we don't want to offend people.
It's
like that's
tense right now.
Believe it or not, our goal is not just to come on this show and offend everyone. Like, we are reasonable people, but we also know what we think, and we. While sometimes wrong, we don't think we're always right, but we don't intentionally wake up in the morning and think, let's try to be wrong today. You know, I mean, we want to share what our thoughts and viewpoints are. That's why you guys listen to our podcast. Otherwise, you just go listen to Talking Chop or, whatever, you definitely wouldn't be listening to us. I'm just saying. So, like, you're here to hear what Josh says. You're here to hear what Ken thinks, sometimes. Mostly what Josh says that you can yell about. But either way, like, that's why you're listening. But we were trying to walk softly in a way, because before the show, we were both like, there's, like, almost no chance this is real. But how do we talk about this in a way so that if it is real, we're not coming across as being racist, because, like, that's the world we live in now, where you feel like you have to self-edit so much just to have a conversation with someone so that you don't get canceled. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, speaking of getting canceled, see where now they're trying to cancel Jimmy Kimmel for the Man Show and all? We talked about this a few weeks ago on the show. Jimmy Kimmel, do you remember the Man Show? Juggies.
I was a huge fan of
I
the
love
Man
the Man
Show.
Jimmy Kimmel was Ziggy's great
like,
back
Ziggy's
then.
Like, oi, oi, oi. Yeah,
he was not. Yeah. He was not a political jerk back then. Him and Adam Carolla.
I saw the pictures today, so I've got some questions about it. So, I saw the picture of him dressed up as Carl Malone. Uh-huh. Okay, we should rename the podcast and call it Things We Can't Tweet.
Right, that's what we probably should.
Because I can't tweet this, but I could say I feel like I've got some freedom on the podcast. So I saw the pictures, and I saw him dressed up as Carl Malone, and again, things I can't tweet, but I laughed my ass
off. Yeah, it's hilarious. It was a hilarious skit when it came out.
Because Jimmy Kimmel dressed up as Carl Malone is really funny. Yeah. And what if, hot take, what if that's not blackface?
What if it's
not? I don't
think
people know what blackface
is. It's not blackface. It's a person dressed up like a black person. There's a difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Blackface is blackface. It is putting
black caricature, big old eyes. Show, yeah.
You're holding a watermelon. Absolutely. Very, very racist. Terrible.
Horrible.
And it was this thing, unfortunately, in carnivals and minstrel shows.
And even in cartoons.
And
yeah.
And folk art, a lot of old folk art. Every now and then you'll be around an antique store and you might see one.
Right.
And it's terrible. But they're literally black, but yeah, I saw the thing.
Yeah, not
like
they're not
funny.
Like
that's...
dark skin. They're like no, black, they're black. Right? It's like it's weird. It's awkward, weird. But I mean,
it
like Jimmy
weird.
Kimmel's
very,
just dressed
very,
up like
very,
a black guy.
Obviously,
yeah.
Racist.
But Jimmy Kimmel's just dressed up like a black person. There's a huge difference in the two. And like you said, you can't tweet this stuff because everybody would freak out. But like,
oh, they would. Yeah.
What if now?
And
Josh,
then he had to apologize. Did you read his apology?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he had to apologize. Oh, he had to get on his knees and apologize,
oh,
man.
God.
Yeah.
Tina Fey apparently canceling, trying to get rid of episodes of 30 Rock where they did blackface. This is what's funny is it's not blackface if you're just dressing up as a black person. Do you call it whiteface?
When, we overcorrect and everything.
You know, this week Disney came out with a Hamilton movie, right? It's like the actual Broadway show Hamilton is on the Disney Plus app now.
Right.
Are people going to be upset when they recognize that Alexander Hamilton wasn't a black man, even though he's played by a black man in that thing? Is that whiteface? Like, is this some kind of weird whiteface? I mean, like,
I'm going to venture to say they're not going to be outraged.
I don't think
about
they will.
That.
You know, I mean, it's just weird. Like, all these people calling for a black guy.
It's overcorrecting.
It's like people calling for a black guy to be James Bond. I'm like, why? Not that I care. I don't care if you make it, but he was written as a white British agent. Like, let him be a white British agent. Write a new cool story for a black British agent and make it like some other guy. You know, it's not that I'm like defending James Bond being white. It's just like use some creativity. You don't have to use the same old character. You don't have to use some guy and make him black for a black guy to be cool. Like, make him a black guy. Let him be a black guy.
I'm gonna write a book one day called Overcorrecting.
That'd be nice.
And yeah, it's like it happens in baseball. We talk about this all the time. Like, people, the advanced stats nerds, have overcorrected so much that they actually think batting average doesn't matter at all.
Right.
That it's
or
like
that
the
pitcher's win stat doesn't matter at all. Or you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Exactly. Laugh my butt off at Aubrey Huff's exchange with Trevor Hoffman. I mean, Trevor
Bauer.
Was
that not hilarious? Yeah. That went on forever too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what here's
I just
what
like
that
Aubrey Huff is like, yeah, you got like 0.1 war more than me, and I got these. And he like slaps down a picture of two World Series rings. I'm like, oh, shoot. Oh, dang.
Yeah, but what's funny, the perception, because people, they're like, you know, zombie sheep on Twitter. They just, the mob mentality, the perception of Trevor Bauer right now,
yeah,
at least in June of 2020, is that Trevor Bauer is this really cool,
smart guy,
kind of liberal, smart guy. He's not what like Aubrey Huff and like Donald Trump stand for.
But
he's cool.
2 years ago, they tried to cancel Trevor Bauer because he was exactly what Aubrey Huff was.
Right. I'm a crazy, petty, immature weirdo. I literally retweeted his MAGA tweets from 2016.
Yeah.
Earlier today, because I thought it was funny, because I saw all these people like that I'm buddies with talk about Aubrey Huff like, oh, they were saying like, oh, Trevor owns the MAGA supporter. I'm like, actually,
let me pull out my slurp juice here. You know,
oh my god,
oh man. Speaking of baseball, though, Josh, MLB coming out today with their initial proposals. We got to talk about this.
I don't care.
You know, they're talking about the 60-game season, but here's the things that they're wanting to imply, Josh. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Universal DH,
imply or apply
both.
Implement.
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah. Implement. Universal DH, so you'll be happy about that. If games go into the 10th, a runner starts on second.
I'm out, man.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's dumb.
Someone ran
the
numbers on it, and last year in Braves games, if games that went past the 10th inning, right, past the 10th, not past the 9th, but past the 10th, it would have affected four games. you don't need a rule for four games.
I agree.
And yeah. even if you multiply that all the way across baseball and you say all 30 teams or whatever, that's still, like, the ratio is still only four games out of a season. And you can't even do that because somebody else was in that game. So it'd be four times 15. So it'd be like 60 total games affected by this. And that's in a regular season. Yeah. That's in a 162-game season. You know, I don't get it. Then they said, Josh, that I'm trying to remember all these. A pitcher would be allowed to keep a wet rag in his pocket to prevent him from going to his mouth.
Why? I saw that.
So
I'm
it's
confused.
To get rid of spitball pitching, I guess. Like, you know, where guys do this all the time kind of thing. I guess that's a COVID-19 thing. Like, they don't want spit being passed around.
I don't know for certain. Okay.
But I'm sure no pitcher will abuse this, Josh.
I got a hot
I'm sure a pitcher having a rag in his pocket, there wouldn't be no bad substances on that rag that helps him throw the ball harder.
I would cheat harder than
you're not
Barry
kidding.
Bonds ever.
These guys, like, they got a hat give, that they
give
keep
me
so
a,
much rosin
give
on.
Me, give me, if I'm a ball player, give me a 60-game bullshit season with a bunch of bullshit new rules during a pandemic when they try to shut us down and I'm not getting all my money like I'm supposed to. Give me that. And I'm putting, right, exactly. I'm putting all kinds of shit in my pocket.
Yeah.
I got a hot take.
What's your hot take?
I don't think there'll be baseball this year.
I don't either. I'm kind of in the same position. I think they're going to blow up the COVID stuff, and they're going to cancel it, and none of this is going to matter.
I think there's going to be more cases, and by cases I mean a bunch of asymptomatic 28-year-olds.
Yeah.
And people are going to freak out because that's what they do because it's 2020, and we've lost – I mean, as we saw yesterday with Bubba Wallace, we've lost any sense of reason. And I think they'll cancel
yeah,
it.
I think you're right.
I don't even think they'll get to, I guess, what, July 1 they report to camp. I don't think they get to game 1.
Yeah. Now, this will be what's interesting, Josh, is does the SEC buy the BS? Because that's a lot of money, Josh. I saw a thing today that said Tuscaloosa, if there's no SEC football season, it would cost them $2 billion of lost revenue. $2 billion with a B.
That's crazy. I've already predicted they're going to cancel the football, college football season.
I don't think they will.
For the same reasons.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
However, here's why they're getting pressured to, okay? Because it's students. It's students and there's lawsuits, perhaps. Yeah. It's not pros. It's students, right? So I think that alone is making them consider doing something. But I hope not.
Well,
I just think
there's so much money that NCAA is going to be like, well, we don't really care if we kill kids. I mean, like, 100%, like, they don't care. You know, they really don't. It's like, there's too much money to be lost for us to do this. Like, I kind of feel like baseball should have seen that, but maybe not.
If they come,
but, like, football's...
Everybody should have seen
football's
that,
a different
story. The whole world. In my opinion, the whole world should have seen it and been like, okay, old people stay home.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's live our normal lives. A lot of other countries actually did that, like Jerusalem. I go to the cigar store, this tobacco shop in Boone, and where I get my cigars from because I'm into tobacco or cigars now because of John D. Howard. And the guy that works there is this Muslim guy from Jerusalem.
Gotcha.
And we've been kind of talking every time I go there. We kind of talk a little politics, you know. And he thinks the masks are bullshit, and he thinks everything is a bunch of bullshit. He's like, in my country, in Jerusalem. He said they did like I don't know if he said 15 or 30 days of like social distancing.
Yeah.
And like that was it.
Right.
And then we just live our lives. And then like some people got it and David was like a very, very, very low rate.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about these things. More things that you can say on a podcast but you can't tweet because you can have a conversation about it. But
right.
But in America, we have become insanely afraid of death. And that sounds like a stupid statement.
We want to save everybody. And we want to pretend like we care about everybody.
Oh, yeah. We pretend that's a good one. Everyone wants to say, I care about everyone, when in fact, no one actually cares about anyone except for themselves and the people really close to them. Like this illusion that we care about people. If you really cared that much about people, you would never speed ever again. You would never, ever drink alcohol and get into a car. And don't pretend that you've never done that. Don't pretend that you haven't had a beer and been like, you know, I'm plenty fine to drive. I'm going to drive home because I've only had one beer. You know, but you would never do that if you really cared about everyone else, because alcohol, drunk driving and alcoholism kills 19 million people a year in America. You know, if we really cared about heart disease, we would get rid of cheese. No one would be allowed to eat cheese in America ever again, because cheese is one of the number one causes of heart disease. The truth is, we don't care about
fried
everyone.
Chicken.
Yeah.
Steak.
Yeah.
Red meat.
And you know what? It's okay. Like, it's impossible to care about 7 billion people. It's impossible.
I've seen this in a few places, but I think either red meat or fried chicken is like one of the biggest culprits of heart attacks for black males.
Uh-huh.
It's like
way
up
there. So Popeyes is racist.
Basically, yeah.
That's what you're telling me. Yeah, okay.
You ever had the spicy chicken sandwich, by the way?
I have not. I never got... Well, see, we don't have a Popeyes here. So, like...
We don't either. We don't either. I was down in Georgia, actually, Chop Fest. It was the day I went to Chop Fest with my brother. And when we left... And when things get so popular, because that little, like, contrary hipster in me, you know, comes out...
Sure.
And it's like, I don't want anything to do with that. Like when an artist gets too big, I'm out. When a show gets too popular, I'm like, it can't be good.
That's why you hate Eric Church. And, I understand.
Right.
It's also why you don't like Popeyes, what's his name? King of Turd Mountain? Sturgill Simpson. Yeah. Same reason you don't like him.
He's a socialist. So when the Popeyes thing happens, I'm like, you know what? It can't be that good, because everybody thinks it's good. And that logic, while it might sound crazy, actually, it works for me most of the time. Like, 95% of the time, whatever people on Twitter are saying, I go the opposite direction, and I'm almost always right.
Yeah.
And so when everybody's tweeting about Popeye's chicken, I'm like, you know, it's probably not that good.
Yeah.
And then I had one, and it...
You were wrong.
Melted my face
off.
I heard they were
pretty good, yeah.
It was amazing. It's like a homemade sandwich.
I've heard it's better than Chick-fil-A.
When you have one, you're like... It is all day. Yeah. It's like you'll be shocked that it was made at a fast food joint.
John D. Howard, please stop listening for the next 30 seconds, okay? Because listen, Josh,
Chick-fil-A.
I got
a bone to pick.
Let me say this: almost every morning, I get a Chick-fil-A biscuit and some hash browns. Okay, like that's my usual breakfast.
They're not as big as they used to be.
That's true. But I'm fine with that. Yeah, like I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But let me tell you something, Josh. And this is blasphemy. John, don't listen. Just skip forward another 30 seconds, John, if you're listening. Chick-fil-A sandwiches are way overrated, and their nuggets aren't very good. And I know Jeff's going to lose it, too. I'm sorry, Jeff.
So I like Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I like Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
I eat them.
I eat mine with mustard. I put mustard on mine.
I don't like mustard. On there.
I love mustard. So... That's how I like my Chick-fil-A sandwich. Here's my qualm. And I would be really interested to know if there's any scientific proof that backs this up, because I feel like maybe one day somebody will get in there and figure it out. But when I have a number one meal at Chick-fil-A, which is the sandwich and the fries.
Do you go for plain, the regular number one, or do you go for spicy? Okay.
I go for the regular one, which is funny because I everywhere else
I
go
spicy,
everywhere. Everywhere I get when I get hot wings, I get the hottest. I'm the nuclear guy.
Yeah, me too.
Spicy hot. When I make stuff at home, I'm always making it spicy hot. But when I go to Chick-fil-A, I get the number one.
That's kind of weird.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyway.
It is weird, yeah. I don't have like this 14-year-old like super fast metabolism, so I feel like this is a valid qualm, okay? Here's my qualm. When I have a number one meal at Chick-fil-A, bro, in 2 hours, I'm starving.
Huh. You know my my number one problem with the Chick-fil-A sandwich, Josh, it's that they don't cook it well enough. And I know you can. You used to get asked for well done. They've stopped doing that now at most places. But
which is terrible.
It is terrible.
Is that our fault? Because nobody knew about that until we
probably
started talking about
it. But you know when you bite into the sandwich and you get like a thick piece of doughy part and it's like doughy and kind of gooey.
Yeah, that
I almost
that
never
annoying.
Get
a
Chick-fil-A sandwich
lot,
that it almost always is that way.
Really?
Yeah, there's almost always a little corner somewhere that's just not quite fried good. You know, and
but you gotta love, you know, service wise, you gotta love and respect.
Yeah,
Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A. I made like a I said, satirical. I eat there every morning. I'm not, you know. Just waiting the food.
I wrote a satirical article about this, you know, a Knock on One Nation,
yeah.
Last year and broke the internet because people thought it was serious, where I made fun of
Chick-fil-A
because they're too nice and, you know. But you gotta love that. You gotta love, in a world where everybody's so hateful and mean and terrible.
It's nice to have a little girl named Reagan tell you she would love to take your
give me a Christian Presbyterian girl named Mackenzie to do my order, you know?
Yeah.
All day.
I'm with you. Just saying. I'm with you. Josh, you started saying something about this yesterday on the podcast, and we never got back around to it because things went a little crazy. But I wanted to wrap up on this note. You mentioned that defund doesn't mean defund anymore, and you wanted to come back to that. So I had made a little note, and I wanted to get back to that because I felt like it was an important conversation. So,
Well, the whole defund the police thing, when it happened, first of all, my eyes rolled back in the back of my head of obvious reasons. Because if you know what I mean, like they're the police, we need the police for protection. If you know what I mean, like let's just be honest. Even like the most, even the safest city. I mean,
one
need,
dog bit you, so
police.
Let's get rid of all the dogs and let the wolves in. You know,
right, right. So I feel like it went on for I don't know the exact timeline here, but I feel like the defund the police, hashtag defund the police, was going on for maybe about a month. It felt like maybe not even a month.
Yeah,
it feels
like
it's been
I think
a month,
it's been
right?
like 2 weeks.
George
two
Floyd.
Weeks, really.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
It went on for like a couple weeks maybe. And then everybody like me who has fully developed like frontal lobes was kind of questioning it, kind of making fun of it, because it's funny to make fun of. Like, how can you not make fun of people that actually think you should get rid of the police?
Yeah, social
right?
workers are gonna stop crime, you know?
Dude, I was driving to Ingles one night, and I had NPR on, and they were interviewing. This was right when it all happened. The defund the police thing just happened, right? NPR, they were interviewing these people that worked for the police department in Eugene, Oregon. I spent a summer living in Eugene, Oregon, which is where I met my buddy Jeff Klein. If you see my Twitter, I go back and forth with him a lot. He's a freaking crazy liberal socialist nut job, but I love him. He's my buddy. And in Eugene, Oregon, they have this thing where, like, let's say that you got robbed, Ken, and you live in Eugene, Oregon. You called 911. They would filter it to, like, a social worker person who would then basically field your inquiry, vet it, and they would determine if you needed police assistance. And according to them, 90% of the time you don't need a police officer, and they would go. And by they, I mean like some chick named Rachel without a gun at all. She would go, and she would go to your house, and she would try to resolve the situation. And then they say sometimes they would go, and then sometimes they would need to call in an officer, and that's when they would. But yeah, this is real life. This is actually happening in Eugene, Oregon. Anyway, so the defund police thing happens, and I mean, everybody's mocking it because it's so freaking stupid, right? And then about 2 weeks into it, I started seeing from my friends in Boone, they would share these infographs like on Instagram on their stories and on Facebook. I'll try to find one, but like infographs of what defund means. And there was one I saw that says defund doesn't really mean defund. It means to scale back. It means to be aware. It means to distribute other funds.
If we called our buddy
to other
Dank
places
Aaron,
like education,
I think he would disagree with him, because I think Dank Aaron's pretty much on the bandwagon of no money ever to cops, kill them all.
So he's lost the plot.
He kind of has. I love
he called you. He called me racist.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah, I unfriended him. He's lost supply. He was like, I'm not even joking. He was he's been Facebooking about like doing the Antifa stuff. Like he, he's like part of it. Yeah. Anyways, so I started seeing these infographics from a few of my friends, and I was like, wait, I feel like I'm crazy. Am I missing something? I feel like the word defund means what I think it means. So I like Googled it, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Defund, the definition is prevent from continuing to receive funds. That is what defund means. And so one of my liberal buddies quoted one of those infographics, and I just took a screenshot of like the definition of defund, and I tried to approach it carefully. I know I'm a smartass, but I was like, hey, not disagreeing that we need to scale back and some stuff. I actually agree with a lot of your statements, but maybe you guys need a new word.
Yeah.
And he never responded.
You know, Josh, I've been trying to listen to you very patiently here, but I just got an alert on my phone, and I read the article, glanced at it here, and you're not going to believe this.
Oh, God.
NASCAR has now said that, thankfully, this was not a crime aimed at Bubba Wallace, but that they will continue their investigation to figure out why a rope fashioned at a noose was put there as early as 2019.
Oh, and, God.
The FBI learned that the garage number 4 where the noose was found was assigned to Bubba Wallace last week. The investigation also revealed evidence, including authentic video confirmed by NASCAR, that the noose found in garage number 4 was in that garage as early as October 2019. Although the noose is now known to have been in garage number 4 in 2019, nobody could have known Mr. Wallace would be assigned to garage number 4 last week. The decision not to pursue federal charges is proper after viewing all available facts and all applicable federal laws.
Yeah, I think I read that before the podcast.
Yeah, just like the rest of the NASCAR garage, we were shocked and appalled to learn the existence of a rope fashioned like a noose. They immediately alerted NASCAR. This was for the Woods brothers. NASCAR says their own investigation and getting law enforcement the evidence that we had, it was clear we need to look into this. And so now they're going to go further into their investigation to find out why a rope was fashioned like a noose in the garage. It's a pull handle on a garage door.
Oh.
I'm telling you, these people are idiots. They're idiots, Josh. Okay. It's 100% PR BS.
Just rewind the podcast back 30 minutes ago or whatever. I retract my reasonable statements about NASCAR. That is ridiculous. Yeah, they're guilty as shit.
They 100% did this. So, yeah.
Are they pandering? Are they saying that way to pander to the...
I have no idea why you would say it. Why don't you just come... maybe they're trying to save face somehow here, and like they want to find somebody to blame for this. It's a freaking rope.
Oh, my God.
And the picture they have, the rope does look a little more tied like a noose than the other, like just a loop on the end. But that being said, it's still a pull handle. It's still, I mean, no matter what you call it, it's still a handle to pull a garage door down.
This is dumber than the okay cooties hand signal thing. You know,
yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
100%. Somebody had went back, took a look at my camera roll on my phone, a screenshot from the video rope on the left, and it shows a picture of the rope. And it's 100% just, I mean, it's a rope that has about 3 or 4 loops around it that's tied so that it'll like snug down, you know? But it's just a rope. It's not a racist noose hanging there threatening to hang someone. Somebody probably 100% like the only thing I can figure is if it's not it looks like a door handle pull, but even if it's not, it's tied like right there next to it. It's something somebody hung something up on, like a work light or something, you know? Like there's no way this is an actual racist noose. This is NASCAR has lost the freaking plot. I'm telling you.
So
they're trying to keep all those fans that came rushing back this week.
Back to things I can't tweet. I'm out, man. I can't be a NASCAR fan right now.
Yeah. It's
after what you just was that from NASCAR?
That was from NASCAR. It was I think Fox had posted the article. Like it just popped up in my news feed. I get stuff from Fox and New York Times and all kinds of stuff. I didn't really pay attention to who it was from. But it was one of the news agencies had posted it. Let's see if I can find it again.
You know what I feel bad for? I feel bad for like good-hearted NASCAR drivers who want to speak up about this bullshit, but they can't because they'd get canceled if they did.
Oh, and now they're mad, Josh, because I see an article here. Mike Skinner's son, Dustin, posts racist message on Bubba Wallace noose incident.
Mm. Oh, my God.
Dustin Skinner. I grew up watching NASCAR in my living room. Blah, 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 my dad, my I know it's not what you want to hear, but my head is off to who put the noose in his car. Okay, well, that's pretty terrible. because Lord. He single-handedly destroyed what I grew up watching and cared about for 30 years. Okay, that's kind of hilarious. He didn't single-handedly destroy it, but anyway, it's inappropriate. But still, like, I don't know, man. It's just insane. Like, we have lost the ability to have normal human interaction with people.
I'm most disappointed in, like, the Marty and McGee's of the world. Mm-hmm. Of the media.
How much do you want to bet those guys double down?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Ryan McGee tweeted the statement earlier, and he just said something like, "Wow, this is so embarrassing." I don't know if he meant like I'm embarrassed or that. I think he meant like this is. I kind of appreciated that a little bit, I guess, because I hope that he means that. Wow, this is embarrassing because it is embarrassing. Yeah, I'm just so disappointed in it, not just them, but most of those guys in that space, except for maybe two people.
Okay, so great quote here, Josh. Gary Sheffield Jr., you know Gary Sheffield, baseball player, his son, he tweeted, "We need to start questioning everything we see in the news. If you question the news story, you were called a racist. If you were irritated with the media for running with a story to promote a message, you were again considered a jerk. Our media is a colossal failure."
Yeah, he's 100% better, right. Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, 100%.
How sad it's. You know, I'm kind of disgusted at NASCAR, and I kind of don't want to. I'm kind of out on them right now, but I'm more disgusted and I'm not. It's easy to be disgusted at like the CNNs and the Fox Newses of the world. You know what I mean? Like the big media. Mm-hmm. But again, man, when I see like. I keep saying their names, but I just love those guys, man. When I see the Marty and McGee's of the world do what they did yesterday without any zilch, none, nada, no evidence whatsoever. I'm very disappointed. It's sad.
Yeah.
And again, it's not us reveling in being correct, and it's not us being giddy about, the noose being fake. It's a lot more than that. It's us being just disgusted at fake outrage for 36 hours.
So tired of
fake
it.
Outrage.
I'm so
it wasn't.
Tired of it.
Yeah.
People.
It's crazy, man.
We've just lost the ability to have any kind of conversation anymore in America. We just all jump to our individual tribes and platforms and yell about it. If more people would listen to Romans 12, Josh, and read it, we'd be in better shape.
That's correct.
Thanks for listening to the Knock Up a Nation podcast. We appreciate all you guys tuning in, hanging out with us. Josh, I've had a blast hanging out with you, buddy. I always love talking to you. We'll catch you next time.
Romans 12:17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I'm out.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy. And spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.